it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not a championship level team right now.
Everything.
I made it up.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I go on and on.
Yes, you do.
Tell you what, I got to look up this guy real quick because you may have action.
I used to play with him with Madden when I used Michael Vick on the Falcons, Donnie.
You're talking about Brian Finneran, yes. Our guest in 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
A wide receiver for the Falcons, played there 9 years,
tall
played in
cat.
The NFL 10 years.
6'5".
And he's joining us at 1 o'clock. He's a sports radio talk show host in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he's a on our sister station, so okay. He's going to be joining us at 1 o'clock. Let me see, is this guy still in the league?
Look. What you mean in the league?
Hold on.
No.
No, it's a, no, not Finneran.
Okay. I was like, Evan,
goodness gracious, he's 49.
Kid is better.
I was going to give Guru an opening here. Ben Simmons still in the NBA? Is he on the Clippers still?
I don't know. Tell me.
Because you still got a shot at winning that bet. Because
Lonzo's back. I saw him yesterday in Cleveland, Steiny.
No, he's under contract. Oh, no, he isn't. It doesn't look like he's
Ben's
in the league right now.
A high rise in L.A.
Oh,
downtown.
Boy.
We both lost that. How about that?
You know what? Let's agree.
Now, real quick, you know, the boss, I'll get back to the Niners. But
hell, the boss.
Evan has me so fired up because he's living. And he's going to this this concert tonight to see Chance the Rapper. And I asked you during the break, and I asked Evan, the best concert, real quick here, that you've been to in your life, Donnie. And I'll share with you two mine. Evan, yours. Yours first. The best concert.
The best concert I think I've seen in person was Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals.
What a compliment.
Is that the other night?
No, that was a different concert. It was at the Shoreline.
Anderson .Paak. Who would have known? And how about yours?
It's really not even close. Bruce Springsteen.
Where at?
Oh, I've seen him everywhere. Not everywhere. I've seen him back east and here. Probably seen him 6 times.
He was incredible.
Untouchable.
Look at Elliot Ness. Now mine is
more energy than any concert and longer than any concert. He used to play for 3.5-4 hours. I swear to God, he used to have a big bucket of ice water on stage with him, and after every few songs, duck his head into the ice
the
water,
boss.
Shake it off, and. So anyway,
those are hell of awards that you guys are giving out. Mine is, and I'm going to catch hell, but I don't live my life this way because this dude's in jail. It's R. Kelly, the performer, though, Steiny. I've seen him, my wife and I, like 8 times. Steiny, no, I'm just telling
I'm just
you,
not in this
on
one.
His craft, the feeling.
Risotto gritting his teeth as we speak.
Right.
Evan looking away.
No, Evan.
The boss on his way.
Just call him Robert so people don't know who you're talking about.
I don't want to live in a world that we can't. Anyway, R. Kelly for me is done. It was incredible.
I want to live in a world where people like that are never spoken
I'll
of again.
Oh, man.
Period.
All right, back to the
That's me. Back to the Niners. Yeah. Brian Finneran coming up in about 5 minutes. Former wide receiver for the Falcons. Now works on our sister station, The Fan, in Atlanta. Looking forward to talking to him. See if the... See if he thinks the Falcons have staying power.
Man, 3-2.
Let's go to Damon in his dump trunk. Wants to talk about how Kyle Shanahan or coaches should coach. What's up, Damon? How you doing?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
You know, I was listening to you. I was listening to you as Guru. And first off, I'm a Niner fan, not a Mac fan, not a Purdy fan, just a Niner fan.
Okay.
I want the best guy out there to give us the best chance to win. And I remember when Purdy first hit the scene back in 22-23, and everybody was, you know, talking about Purdy, and they're like, oh, well, you know, he's a seventh round, and, you know, should we, you know, whatever, whatever. But it didn't matter where he was picked. The draft status didn't matter. You play the best guy, and at that time it was Purdy. And I feel like now we're kind of in a similar place where it is now Mac, and Mac has been playing better than Purdy played last year, and pretty much any game Purdy played this year. And the conversation is a little similar in the fact that it's like, it doesn't matter who just got the check. You play the best guy that's going to give you the best chance to win. You know, you play the guy that's going to give you the best chance to win. And that's just my thoughts on that. I'm just hearing a lot of people, you know, push Purdy, but Purdy hasn't pushed us on the field.
Wow.
Not in a year.
Wow.
Maybe he can at some point, but he hasn't. And we're just kind of expecting that he's automatically going to come back and be the Purdy from 22 and 23. I haven't seen that yet. So,
I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it, D.
Yeah.
See, I think Kyle Shanahan also is the kind of coach, and cutthroat might be too strong a word, but he's also the kind of coach that looks at it, like, I don't think he looks at it as though, what am I going to do? Like, I think he's so confident in himself that he looks at it and he goes, well, we have Brock Purdy under contract for 5 more years, and we've got Mac Jones under contract for another year and a half, and right now, Purdy's hurt, and so I'm going to go with Mac Jones, and if when Brock comes back and he's healthy, I'll put him in, and we'll evaluate him. And if I don't like what I see, I'll go back to Mac Jones. And then you know what? If we make the playoffs and Mac and we think Brock's not healthy enough, and Mac Jones takes it to the playoffs, okay, we'll ride it out. And then what happens? Then what? Well, then we come back next year to training camp, and we've got Brock Purdy under contract and Mac Jones under contract, and we'll figure out whether we want to try to do something or not. That's what.
But what about the perception?
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about that. I don't think.
Man.
Because he's not, like, they're not doing anything right now to Brock Purdy that's saying we don't like him.
Well, they're giving him $181 million.
He's not
going to
put him on the field unless he's healthy.
Man. Hey, you could be right, Stoney. You could truly be right.
And also, From a logical standpoint, all these injuries, not just to the quarterback, to everybody, you've seen it. Why wouldn't you want to have two quarterbacks if you can? Like, they're right now.
You're not. Brock, somebody's coming for Mac if you don't do if something.
Well, first of all, he's under contract next year.
Okay, I got you.
So fine, then trade him.
Yeah, no
trade
doubt.
Him.
I got you.
That's fine.
I got you. But what if he ended up going on to have a better career than Brock?
Oh,
I hear you can't live your life that
right.
way. But
and
I'm
who's
just
to say they couldn't trade Brock?
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think John and Kyle are impressed with what they've seen through 4 games from Mac Jones?
I think they signed him feeling like that's who he could be.
Right.
I really do. And I think, you know, I think they signed Garoppolo because they thought he could turn into the quarterback that they kind of turned him into.
Yeah.
Now he got hurt and then some of his limitations showed up. And they were like, yeah, you know what? He ain't really it. But it took 3 or 4 years to come to that conclusion. You know, it's certainly possible that Brock Purdy, I'm sure you could find a million quarterbacks that had a couple great seasons early in their career and just never really got back to it for whatever reason. Maybe the league catches up. Maybe,
a lot of film out there.
Maybe too much, you know, just too many injuries to overcome. I don't know.
But I'll say this, just for my liking, I know we'll be joined here with Brian Finnerman here shortly. Now, why would you laugh? Why would you laugh?
It is funny.
Evan, what'd I do?
Finnerman. It's okay.
But it is funny. You
well,
laugh at yourself.
It's funny now. It wouldn't have been funny if you were wrong.
That's right. And I'm going to stay on my last study.
You know
I just forgot what I. Thank you.
Glad we did it now.
I just helped you avoid a Casey Johnson moment.
I got you. That's
all. Anyway, we're going to have Brian Finnerman in at 1 o'clock, host at 680 The Fan, sister station in Atlanta. So we'll go to him.
Yeah. And we'll call him Brian.
A lot of people saying Prince on the Boxer and Gerson work. Attorney injuries tech. Oh, God.
You saw Prince?
Yeah.
Thanks, Evan.
Where?
Coliseum. 1990-ish, around there. When I was hitting it hard.
Oh, my God. A long time ago.
Yeah.
But he played he played at, was it Chase or the Oakland Arena?
I want to say Chase. I missed that.
Pretty soon after he passed.
Yeah, Evan, I went and saw Prince.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw a New Edition. Nobody asked. But yeah, I've seen some goats, but that Kelly dude, man.
Surprised Steiny didn't say Dylan.
Or Rick James. What did Rick do when you went? That was your first concert.
Rick James was great. Problem with the Rick James concert.
I appreciate that. Okay.
Problem with the Rick, and the concert was great. Problem with it. Oh, that's why I liked it. I kind of fit in. No, it was an all-day. It was an all-day concert, and it rained for a big chunk of it, which kind of put a damper on things. Mm. But now that was a great one, and it put a damper on that too.
That's
the rain. No, that was the Rick James, Kool & the Gang.
Look at my man, Black Mets,
Atlantic Star.
Boy,
it was a good concert.
My man got
no
that card. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Rick James.
Black Mets. He had some. Yeah. He had some struggles.
Rick James did some stuff on that stage that my little.
Give it
my
to
little
me,
10th
baby.
Grade suburban eyes and weren't really aware.
Right. He was before his time, though, Stoney. He was incredible.
Nah, he had some great.
It's just something about actors, actresses, or actors. You call them actors now. Musicians that they have these demons. You know, they're good in one thing, but then.
See, I'm a believer that everyone has demons.
But,
I believe every person on earth has a dark side.
But for the average bear that doesn't have a skill set like the famous people, you think that skill set would keep you away from the demons? Like, we're just average Joe.
No, a lot of times it accentuates the demons.
But why is what I want to know?
Money and fame.
Damn.
You know what Van Morrison said? Fame will eat your soul down in Hollywood town.
Stoney said money and fame.
Yeah. Money and fame. Fame and money.
Don't LeBron be has it. Curry
don't be
has
seduced.
It.
You're among the most likely people that I know who would get seduced by money and fame.
I'm on record as telling you. I didn't make the NBA. I'd have 10 baby
See,
mamas.
Isn't honesty great?
I can tell
it's
you
just
right
like
now.
When you said, Stoney, would you be in my foxhole? And I'd be like, I'd be lousy in your foxhole. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but that bothered me.
Well, it bothers me, what you just said. But it was honest, right? You can never be upset at honesty, can you?
Money and fame, that hit me.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
I have either.
Hey, they had Greg Cosell on yesterday.
Give it to me.
And they did ask him about the Mac Jones game and the offensive line. How did Mac play? I always like to hear Greg Cosell's voice.
I think the O-line has been struggling. I don't think that's a profound, you know, I mean, in some ways it's a Captain Obvious statement. I don't think I'm telling you guys anything that fans watching don't know. You know, I think the interior three are struggling in particular. You know, Pooney did not have a good game this week. I don't think Brendel's played as well as he's had in the past. So I think ultimately it's a concern. But to going a step further, I came away from watching the offensive tape. I felt Mac Jones played a great game. You know, given the situation, given that he was under pressure quite a bit, I thought he played at a really, really high level in this game.
You know what? Man, that's our guy, Stoney. Kyle was asked kind of the same question and said, you know, outside of the interception, he thought Mac had an okay game too. And he did. He almost threw for 400, but it's not just about the yardage.
I thought Mac Jones was good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you gave the ball away.
And I love
Cosell, but he did. Remember how we ended the show Friday? I was a little annoyed. Yeah, and you said I should have been annoyed.
And I missed you at the cafeteria. Yeah. I wanted to put my arm around you, man.
Yeah, we're just I thought we were just having fun.
Yeah, I got you.
It got a little serious.
I came back Monday and re-brought it back up.
And you know, I just said, you know, I was kidding around a little bit about how, you know, the East Coast was blaming Harper and Schwarber, not the dude Kirkering who threw the ball away. And I just said, yeah, we have a tendency to do that. And we never, you know, we got sacred cows that we can't criticize.
Damn.
And one of them, clearly, is Trent Williams. No, Trent's not a problem.
Play it again.
No, it's just been the interior. But, just the interior.
He could be keeping it real, Stoney.
I think the O-line has been struggling. I don't think that's a profound, you know, I mean, in some ways it's a Captain Obvious statement. I don't think I'm telling you guys anything that fans watching don't know. You know, I think the interior three are struggling in particular. You know, Pooney did not have a good game this week. I don't think Brendel's played as well as he's had in the past. So I think ultimately it's it's a concern. But to going a step further, I came away from watching the offensive tape. I felt Mac Jones played a great game. You know, given the situation, given that he was under pressure quite a bit, I thought he played at a really, really high level in this game.
Now, see what I mean?
Yeah. If no, let's keep it real. There's no agendas there. Second year player,
interior, and then the center,
that nobody knows.
He
said interior. That's the meat. That's the come on. That's the middle.
Trent gave up four pressures on Sunday, second most on the team.
Yeah, we're all going through something.
I'm just saying.
But for him to leave Trent out, Steiner, he was talking about the. Come on, man.
See, here's the thing, and
you just got to throw him in there.
You think I'm kidding? But I'm not. If Trent Williams in his prime is 100, okay, he's the best ever.
One of them.
Okay, and now he's down to an 80, okay? He's down to an 80. He's dropped 20%. Okay, Dominic Pooney last year had a good year.
A great one.
Yeah, he was an 80. Well, now he's struggling to a 60. They both dropped 20-25%. Why doesn't Trent Williams get lumped in there?
Because
I thought the offensive line was a unit.
Yeah.
None harmful.
I wish you were on that. You could bring that up with the guys. But he was talking about the interior.
Right.
So that
making Trent, it sound like Trent's been doing his job. He's not in this one.
But wouldn't one who knows, just Cosell, if he doesn't, and I don't believe he does, Donnie, let's just be real here and human. If he doesn't have an agenda and he gives you that take, that to me would be or go against ones that say in Trent's, I'm not saying he's having an all-pro year, but you might need to step off the gas of lumping Trent in with the rest of the game. Because Cosell said, I watched the tape,
The point is this: the interior saw the interior do bad. The point is this. Certain personalities, fans, pundits can have, they just don't go after the big boys. They just don't.
You're into that.
It's because it's a fact. You know, it's just like, we over-talk about Kuminga and his role.
But we understand why.
No, I don't.
He could, if everything went well, he could be part of the future. He was a number seven pick in the draft.
But that's 5 years ago. What I'm saying is we talked so much about Kuminga for somebody who's such a small factor on this team. And it's just like, everybody knows Brendel's mediocre. Well, of course, Brendel's not playing well. Like, but oh, what about Trent?
Okay.
Oh, Trent's been great. No, he hasn't.
Let's do this. Let me, Evan. This might be another, you know, one of my bad analogies, but it feels good. So, would you say, Stani, between the three of us on our show, 10 to 2, Stani, Evan, and Guru, would you say you talk the most?
No.
You do with your role that the stuff, the ins and outs, and the reads. I would say you talk the most.
No, I think you still. I'm being serious.
No, I think you talk the most. Come on. Okay. All right. Traditionally, one chair talks more than anybody,
okay,
right?
Okay, fine.
It's your job.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay? And sometimes I'm lazy butt over here. I'm like, boy, I ain't got to do that. Of us three to have a successful show, I think it's fair to say you need to be on your A game more than either of us.
Okay, I'll go along with that.
Then that's how it works for sports. The better players.
Right, so if we have a bad show, I should get most of the blame. If the 49ers have a bad offensive line performance, Trent Williams should get most of the blame.
But not if there's four other spots on the O-line that are not doing their job. But he's supposed to be
he's the highest paid. He's supposed to be the best. He has now slipped everybody else.
Well, can't he be immune?
No, why is he immune?
Because Cosell's telling you he watched all five.
Well, that's one guy. I'm talking about a general thought. We've got a lot of fans that treat certain people like.
I'm just telling you, I took that as Trent didn't have the worst game.
He's afraid of him. He's afraid of him. How about that?
But you know that's not the case.
I don't know.
He's playing well.
And that
How come he didn't say the interior lineman is killing a great season by Trent Williams? You know, Trent.
Well, that's a different story.
I'm an offensive line expert.
That would be a lie.
And this is one of Trent's better years.
That would be a lie.
Well, I don't
but
know
we're
that.
About
I don't,
just this past
but nobody
Sunday,
knows anything about line
think,
play.
I don't think Cosell does. And I don't think he saw it on display as Trent had that bad of a game. That's all. Not season. But you want to throw him in?
No, he's having a great year.
No, see, hey, I didn't say that.
Well, apparently Is he having a good year?
I'll say he's having an average year. Below his standards.
Thank you. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
This run offense is on, this run, yeah, it's on everybody.
Hold on a second. Yeah.
I think a lot of times the best players don't get that much blame because generally they're playing well.
That's correct.
Like they're responsible for their team being in the game even if they lose.
Evan, you Stoney Hump, San Jose Jazz fan, my guy, our guy, goose skating on thin ice, playing with fire with that question.
And Stoney just threw you under the bus in the YouTube chat.
No, and I said it on the air. I think you talk more than me. I said it on the chat. I said I think Guru talks more than me.
Evan, how it's fine. There's no wrong answer from the goo, Evan. How there he talks more. It's his job description.
I think word count would probably be slightly in favor of Steinmetz.
No doubt.
But that's the job,
he says
though.
Slightly.
But I
can disagree, and you don't have the facts.
But it's not like I'm up 81 and I'm saying we're tied.
Well, first of all, if you get credit for when you blurt out... It's not even close.
Evan, thank you, man. Stoney, I'm here every day. You got to do a lot more stuff. Sometimes I feel guilty.
You also got to set things up and ask questions.
I know all that, and I still think he comes around and laps me a little bit.
Chris A? Guru interrupts more, no doubt. Well, sometimes I got to get in, Chris.
Can I be honest with you? The number two guy should talk more than the number one guy,
but
honestly.
Not natural. You got more stuff to do reads.
Right, but in a
We're
perfect
being
world.
Joined by. Then your takes. All I do is takes.
Sounds like you're a little sensitive. Let me guess.
I love the analogy. Let me guess.
You need more touches. Now Jawan Jennings.
I'm the host who would let you know if I thought if my touch distribution was not where it should be. I'll let you know.
Oh, boy.
I got you. The boss will tell us
Guru
in our meeting.
Definitely doesn't talk more than Steinmetz on Thursdays.
That thing's a myth.
Yeah, it's getting there.
No, seriously, you put my third. No, it's always been a myth. You know, you always had fun with it.
Guru. Come on. You got to go 2 years without missing a Thursday before that goes all the way away.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah, please.
A year.
Oh, man.
All right. That's fun. I'm fun.
Will is coming in hot, I believe.
Thanks to, I'd like to thank Brian Finneran for nothing.
He still may come.
You know what? I don't want him. I don't want him. 1 o'clock is 1 o'clock. I want him, the Heat. If you can get him, you can get him.
Is he in
it's
there?
Just
oh,
stick. Don't worry. Oh. I'll take Finneran if we need him.
Oh, man.
I actually do want to talk to him about Atlanta, find out if he thinks it's a different kind of Atlanta team than they've been in the past.
The fact is many people think I talk more than you is just incredible. BJ Kemp by far, goo? Stop. Now I'm louder.
You know, it's like there was something.
You start the show and go
happened.
3 minutes before I get it.
I never go 3 minutes. Ever. And you know what I do a lot of times? I come out and I go, what do you think? And then, you know, at 10:09, I say, all right, 888-957.
Real quick, before the break, you know what the boss said?
What did he say?
Probably Steiny, but boy, Guru gives him a run for his money.
Like, that's bothersome to me.
I want you to talk more than me.
The ins and outs, it shouldn't even be close.
All right, what's coming up on a game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Hey, this Sunday night, the kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings will be live from Laughing Monk at Sunnyvale. Starting at 3 p.m., they'll have all the early games on, and the Beer Garden... Oh, man, it's going to be open. And not only is it going to be open, it's going to be rocking. There's going to be a DJ there. Bartender's going to be serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. And if you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium right now. You drive to Laughing Monk, park your car, shuttle to the game, watch the game, shuttle back to Laughing Monk, get your car and get out of there. Free. That's what the shuttle costs. First come, first served. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, to sign up now.
And that's what life's about.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be delicate with those calves.
You know, we're all going through something.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. All right. Before we introduce our next guest, I'm going to tell him he has fallen big time on my Villanova former athlete power rankings. I now have Brian Westbrook, Howie Long, Jalen Brunson, Ed Pickney, and then Brian Finneran, the host at 680, the Fan, Villanova grad, because he was late, and my boss is hot.
What's up, B?
What's up, man? How you doing? Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Listen, we need to fix that phone number, for God's sakes. It looks like a marketing telemarketer call or something. 888, no city, no nothing, no idea what was going on. So I apologize. That was my fault.
No apology needed. Thank you so much for joining us. And my first question to you, Brian, would be, you know, is this Falcons team different than what a lot of people think their reputation is and has been?
I think so. It is. It's all kind of come to a head this year. We weren't sure exactly what we were getting into. I think we knew what we had with Bijan Robinson, but Michael Penix starting at quarterback was kind of a question mark. He only had three games last year. Drake London came into his own last year, 1,000-yard season. A couple of rookies we knew were going to have to show up and make some plays. But yeah, I really do. I think this is the year where I think we finally turn the corner and figure out how to win games. Now, I don't know what the hell happened 3 weeks ago against the Carolina Panthers. Sometimes you just have a game like that where nothing works, and that was that game. But to bounce back from what it was probably the worst game I've seen in a couple years, to bounce back and beat the Commanders and then take care of the Bills on Monday Night Football is pretty sweet.
Brian, I got to tell you, this last Monday night, as you guys hosted the Buffalo Bills, I get my dinner ready, and I think I know what I'm about to see. And I was shocked and told my partner, like, that defensive line for the Atlanta Falcons got after Josh Allen all night. So I don't want to use the word underrated, but I underrated them. Just talk to us about that unit and how impactful they need to be to make it difficult, you know, this Sunday night for what looks like to be Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's a group that's been led by Grady Jarrett for the last decade. And they had some good seasons and some bad ones as well. But David Onyemata, we got in free agency from the New Orleans Saints a couple few years ago, and he has taken over an ownership and leadership role as a defensive tackle on that defense, leading from the interior. And then you can throw in a bunch of 2- and 3-year guys and rookies that are all performing somehow, some way. And I think you got to go back and look at Jeff Ulbrich and the hiring Raheem Morris, our head coach, hired Jeff Ulbrich as a new defensive coordinator. You guys are familiar with him. He played, probably a decade for San Francisco. And the dude can get guys to play for him. So it's Zach Harrison, I think a kid out of Ohio State that's in his 3rd or 4th year. It's Arnold Ibukete that's been around for 3 or 4 years, showing up finally. Aruka Rororo, Brandon Dorlis. Nobody knows these names,
right?
But they are flat out playing some good football. And then you throw in a couple rookies, and James Pierce Jr. and my man Jalen Walker from Georgia. And it's all just working. For whatever reason, it's just working this year.
You're listening to Brian Finneran. He's the host at 680 The Fan, our sister station in Atlanta. 10 years in the NFL, 9 with the Falcons as a wide receiver. You know, when people out here talk about Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, they say, you know, great, great play caller, great schemer, noted for pre-snap motion, an offensive, you know, genius, if you will, or really innovative. If I asked you, what does Raheem Morris hang his hat on as a head coach, how would you answer that?
What a great question. Holy moly. Raheem Morris is, I think, first and foremost, a player coach, player's coach. He doesn't seem like there's a lot going on for him on the sideline in game. I have to believe that during the week he gets with his defensive staff and gets his input in there and then lets him kind of cook, gives him some stuff and lets Joe Fahlberg do his thing and kind of stays out of the way, I guess. But we as a Falcon franchise and a Falcon fan base have kind of been trying to figure out what exactly Raheem is doing most of the game. I'm sure there's some motivational stuff. I'm sure there's some stuff he talks to Ulbrich about him. But there have been some issues like timeouts, situational 2-minute drill type stuff where it just kind of looks like something else needs to happen and he's not pulling the trigger. So all those things you said about Kyle Shanahan, I would agree with. And on the flip side, Raheem seems to be just like a, almost like a, what do you call those dogs you take on the airplanes? Like a comfort
animal?
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, whatever it's doing so far, it's working for the most part this year. So I like the guy a lot. I played against him in college. So he played safety and corner and did some things. And he's the second time around as a head coach. And I think he's getting better every single week. But it's a great question because I don't know exactly what he does on the sideline all game long.
Wow. Hey, Brian, I got to ask you, you know, the Niners just lost to Baker Mayfield and, you know, people are clamoring and yelling MVP. I know it's early, but man, he's turned his career around. But you got a guy in the backfield, Bijan Robinson. And not only is he in the backfield, you guys are lining him up wide. You played in the league. Does he remind you of anybody? And what is it like watching him on a weekly basis, man? Because he looks special.
He's as special as it gets, brother. I mean, I'm talking about the shiftiness, the cuts. I've never seen him get up from a big hit from a linebacker or safety and even flinch or limp or shake it off. He's like a RoboCop, dude. He can't seem to be, there's no weakness to his game. I have yet to see, even when he's in the backfield chip blocking and helping pick up blitzing linebackers and defensive linemen circling around and kind of stunting TEs and ETs, he will knock their ass in the dirt too with big chip blocks and everything else. I haven't figured it out yet. I hope we don't figure it out and you guys don't figure it out on Sunday Night Football because the dude is an absolute monster.
Brian Finneran joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a host at 680 The Fan. That's our sister station in Atlanta. Played in the NFL 10 years, 9 with the Falcons. All right, so real quick out here in San Francisco, the backup Mac Jones is playing. Brock Purdy's on the shelf. The 49ers acquired Kendrick Bourne, who Mac Jones played with in New England, developed an immediate rapport. Juwan Jennings is a receiver who's not getting the ball. He's not happy. You, I gotta believe, as a receiver, have been involved in a lot of situations where there's quarterback uncertainty. What's a wide receiver's role with the coaching staff influencing, if you will, what the team and the receivers prefer?
I think to answer the question, I think you mean like, what do they have to do or be willing to do when you got a backup quarterback in the game? We've had it happen a couple of times. I was able to build a rapport with a lot of our backup quarterbacks because I only had about 1 or 2 years where I was an actual starter. Other than that, I was like a third down special teams guy. So during scout time or when I needed help going against a defense, I would jump in there and work with Matt Schaub or some of our backups that were over there at the time. And you develop a relationship with those guys. And you just try to help him as much as you can, whether that's blocking for Christian McCaffrey and trying to get him loose in the run game or just being as positive as possible. Because as a backup quarterback, I know Mac Jones has done it before, but you cannot have like his head swimming about who he's trying to get the football to or who's bitching or whining the most in the huddle or on the after you come off the sideline and nobody's getting the ball and everybody's frustrated. You just try to put the selfish stuff behind you and do whatever you can to help the quarterback be his best and win a game, which should be the case all the time. But, you know, for some of us receivers, that's just not the case.
Man, Brian, when I found out we were having you on, I got to go here and it's not fair, man, but I'm just random, hashtag random. Last week, the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin was very passionate about some young guys saying that the receivers nowadays are way better and faster. And I know it's hard, Brian, comparing eras, but I just want to get your thoughts on, with the way that the game is called, is in some type of way it easier to be an NFL receiver now compared to back then during your day and Michael Irvin's?
Yeah, especially Michael Irvin. They were trying to rip his head off. And I went against guys like Ed Reed and John Lynch and guys like that definitely tried to take our heads off and didn't feel bad about it at all. Mm. It's probably an easier time to play football with the contact rules and the lack of big hits over the middle. Because there, at times, there is a fear factor for some people. I never really had it. I always attacked the football and tried to avoid those big hits the best I can. Plus, I was a bigger bodied receiver at 215 where I could take some of those hits. But and listen, Michael Irvin, I'm not sure speed was ever part of his game, and it sure as hell wasn't part of my game. But we used great route running, big hands, long reach, big catch radius, and he tried to – we were Moss and dudes before Moss was Moss and dudes. So we were trying to do that kind of stuff and make it happen. So we had speed guys, and Randy Moss was the guy who could turn it on at any point and run 4.2. So I think in every era of football, there's always going to be different types of players. It's about how the rules change and then what it means for the quarterback. I mean, they want quarterbacks to be upright and delivering passes down the field and making exciting plays. And the rules have changed. And I think it's for the better for the players. Hopefully they play longer careers and stay healthier and it moves forward. But yeah, I tended to agree with Michael Irvin. He was super passionate about it.
He was hurt.
That's for sure.
Hey, so what are you seeing from your receiver, the young man, Mr. London?
Dude, he's great. I see a little bit of myself in him, and it's just a small, small piece. But he is so physical to that football. He's not afraid of anything. He attacks the ball every time it's in the air. He's more athletic than I was and is faster, but that dude is 6'4", 215 pounds, athletic, played volleyball, I think, in college a little bit. He can jump and get on top of people. He's just been a kind of like, he's almost like a little bit of a throwback to receiver because there's not a lot of ton of style and swag to him, but he's a grinder and he's a sick athlete and he can make some serious plays.
Brian Finneran joining us on 95.7 The Game. 10 years as an NFL wide receiver, 9 with the Atlanta Falcons. Juwan Jennings got into a little sideline altercation with Kyle Shanahan late in the second quarter of Sunday's game. And, you know, he's a good receiver. He's a good receiver. I'm looking at your numbers. I mean, you had a long career in this league. You had some real nice years. How did you confront the coach if you wanted a more expanded role?
I was a company man, my friend. As Roddy White called me years ago, I was trying to get him to pull his head out of his rear end. He said, I'm a company man. And that was true too. I tried to stick around the league, fellas, as long as I possibly could. And you guys, you got it right. I played 10 years, but I got paid for 12 because I was on IR for 2 years. You and Roddy both tried to tell me I only played 10 years, but when I got paid for 12, I told everybody I played for 12. So that's what I did. I think it's probably frustrating for Juwan Jennings because of the year he had last year and then a slow start going into this season. You just start feeling yourself a little bit when you have big seasons like that. And I guess you expect the ball to come your way. So hopefully he can kind of figure it out, be more of a team player and realize that this is bigger than him, especially when, like you guys talked about, like, especially when you have a backup quarterback in there, everybody's got to be on the same page. You're going to be in big trouble trying to find a way to win football games.
Brian, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo get to the heights of a Super Bowl under the tutelage of Kyle. Brock Purdy come out of nowhere, mystery relevant in the draft, and here comes Mac Jones, who I thought was done or didn't have the goods. Can you speak just to, as a former player, how shocked you are, or are you shocked at all, on what you're seeing with Mac Jones under the tutelage of Kyle?
Kyle Shanahan, as much as I have a problem with what took place in the Super Bowl years ago, I try to not talk about it, but for whatever reason, it keeps happening. So Kyle, for those of the listeners out there that don't remember, he was our offensive coordinator when we went to the Super Bowl and took an L to the Patriots. But to that point, Kyle Shanahan is a brilliant offensive mind. He does a great job using players to the best of their ability and even gets more out of them than a lot of guys. So I have no doubt in my mind that Kyle can help Mac Jones be a great quarterback. If he listens and studies and understands what they're trying to do, they can make it work. So that's my point. I'm just like, if the offense buys into what Kyle's trying to do with those guys, even though they're all banged up on the defensive side of the ball, they're losing star players left and right, quarterbacks out, Kittle's been out for 4 weeks, whatever it is. It's just, got to trust in the process and trust in Kyle, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, Brian, can I assume you weren't heavily recruited out of high school? I just noticed you're from California. Yes. And you ended up at Villanova.
Yeah, I have an identical twin brother, Brad, and I don't know if they gave out half stars, but if they did, I probably got a half a star way back when. And Villanova, I got some lukewarm looks from Oregon and Oregon State back in 1994, but at the end of the day, we had one football scholarship offer, and it was to Villanova, and it was for both my twin brother, Brad, and I, and we jumped at the opportunity to go to a great school and do that. And my number one goal at the time was to get a good education from a great university and go find a job when I was done having fun playing some football.
Oh, that's a great story. How's your brother doing now, if I can ask you?
In what position was he?
We both played wide receiver. My junior and senior year, we were really good. We were number one in the country my senior year, 11-0 in the regular season, and lost in the semis to Youngstown State. But anyway, he's in California. His daughter is a senior at Santa Margarita Catholic High School, and he coaches the girls' flag football team over there, along with Carson Palmer, coaches the boys' varsity over there now.
All right, so he's coaching at the high school he went to.
That's exactly right.
That's wow. Cool. Hey, yeah. Brian, man, thank you so much for joining
us.
Hey, you were worth the wait, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Again, enjoyed talking to you guys.
No problem. That's Brian Finneran, played 10 years in the NFL, man. 9 with the Falcons. He's now a host on 680 The Fan, our sister station in Atlanta.
He's got something in common with you, he said.
What?
The company man. I love him, man. Said I knew what I was. Wow. Dude, he was great, man.
Not a big Raheem Morris fan.
What was that? Evan got in my ear on that
one. I believe the term was service animal.
You know,
dude,
what?
Wow.
As he was saying that, I thought, you know, comfort. I should have just not said anything because he was like, what are they called? Comfort.
Right.
Anyway.
As the president of the black coaching delegation, I wanted to jump in like, damn, they're 3-2. But
sounded like he's still trying to figure it out.
Man.
He also kept himself from going in on Kyle.
Yeah, man, he did. He's boy.
Yeah, he did.
There was something there for sure.
Finneran.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, Sonny. I mean, right behind Baker. I'm just saying. MVP. The dude's special, man. 98 yards a game. That's second in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him. I've seen the numbers. They look pretty good.
Is Atlanta better than you thought after the Monday night game?
What are they, 3-2?
Yeah, yes. But they beat Buffalo.
Yeah, and they so beat somebody good after before them that we couldn't remember last week. By the way, you made
so
a mistake
bad
earlier.
Against Carolina. Tell me.
It's the Bengals tonight, not the Browns on Thursday Night Football.
No, it's the Browns. Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
You said Browns.
And you know why?
Yeah, because Flacco is on the Browns. It's
no,
fine.
They're showing the Browns-Steeler game, but you're right. It's Joe Flacco.
I'm definitely waiting on my bingo card.
Let's go to Filmo, Mike.
Mike!
The hell? Got nothing else to do.
This
what's up, Filmo?
Guy.
What's popping?
Hey.
Now I'm just chilling, and I've just, you know, just been laying back, and I've been listening, and the most preposterous thing was said. Guru said that he talks less than Steiny.
That's true, Mike.
But you gotta incorporate when you cut him off sometimes.
Oh wow! All right, Mike.
You
wow.
Have to incorporate. Okay. But no, you no. But if I talk, my point is, if I talk as good as you, and the way that you talk, and you like, you're very spontaneous, and your gift of gab is second to none. So if I talked as well as you, I probably would talk as much as you. But the way you explain things, you break it down, you put a metaphor on top of a analogy, on top of a your paragraph, bro, it's genius.
Hey, Mike.
Right on, Mike.
Hey, Mike, you sound a little subdued.
Where you at?
I'm at the house, man. I'm having a little.
Let's leave it there.
Break. Oh, okay.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
You're the man, bro.
Just know that 10-2 loves you.
Yeah.
No we doubt. Love you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Man. I love y'all back, man. And I like how y'all incorporate Evan. I won't be able to make the thing this weekend because y'all start too late. But the next time y'all play in the morning on the East Coast, I'm there.
Yeah. Laughing Mike.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That's Filmo Mike.
Yeah.
Bay Area.
He said he was 420 in. He sounded different. Yeah, he's in
140.
Hey, get it in.
Something was
I
up
know
there,
people that wake and bake. I could never do it. Like you gotta know who you are. I just get stupid. I quit.
I mean,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On vacation?
That's
a, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Never.
Bake.
Never. Never at work.
Yeah.
Never at work.
Dude, he was good, Brian.
Yeah, he was great.
What do you think it is about Kyle? That
he blew it.
He
like, said, don't get me started.
Hey, yeah, he did say that. Wow.
Incredible. Oh, we got a guy wants to get in here. G Money in San Jose wants
G.
to. I don't know what he would want. And why I would need to get to him so quickly, but hey, G Money, how you doing?
Hey, yo, what's up, Steiny? How you doing? What's up, Goo? Hey, I got some breaking news for y'all.
Right?
I got some breaking news. Okay, hey, so I got you guys on the YouTube. I got y'all on the YouTube while I'm working on the work computer, and I'm watching some TV. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with First Things First.
It's one of our shows
with your boy. With you, okay? So I heard y'all talking about Steiny's skills earlier, and it just so happened they were talking about how the media gets together playing ball and whatnot, and they were saying, oh yeah, you know, how's Stephen A. Smith? They say, oh yeah, Stephen A. Smith can shoot, he can play.
Wow.
They go, okay, Broussard, who's the best player of all the media? Who's the best player? And he goes, you know what? I got to give a shout out to my guy, Matt Steinmetz. He's a real baller. He's Larry Bird. He's unstoppable. I said, whoa, okay. You know what? You made me proud, Steiny. So I just had to. I
this
just
was
had to
on
deliver
T. This was
news.
On their
you
show? This was on their show?
This is on. Check it out.
I
this
got it taped at the house. I'm sick and jealous. Oh,
oh
my
this could
goodness.
Be big. This could be really big,
hey,
G-Money.
Oh, my goodness.
Wolf tickets. Steiny is not selling Wolf tickets. It's official. He's a baller. They called you Larry Bird, my guy.
We had Broussard on this morning, right at the start of the show. Man.
See, hey, man, they got, hey, check that out when you get home, Goo.
I'm going to send him the recording.
Thanks, G-Money. Appreciate it. You're
going
to send
me. It's going, I'll tape the TV and send it to you.
I should almost skip the crossover. Ensure that I get out of here in a good mood after G-Money.
Evan, what is going on?
Dude, that was on TV?
Yeah.
FS1.
Dude, I got it. It's set to record.
Wreck it.
Yeah. Well, you're having a good week, man.
Brew. Those aren't boos.
Come out of retirement.
They're saying brew, as in Broussard. My man.
There's a part of this that's bothering me.
I know there is, and I love it.
Now, what bothers you, Gil?
That I'm not, like, I'm still hooping, and it's for nothing. Evan, it's on TV now in New York.
Well, it's all over the country.
It's actually still going on right now.
Dude, that's great, man.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Send you the clip. I'll videotape it on TV.
Yeah, sure you will.
No, I will.
You said you're mad.
I just wish you mentioned Steiny and Guru. All hopefully right. He mentioned the show. But
all right. All right, crossover next. That segment sponsored by Moderna.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.